Welcome to Campbell Bible Church. Thank you for our digital listeners tuning in today. Today, we are going to be digging into what the Sabbath day is all about. And do we, as Christians, still celebrate the Sabbath day? Now, kudos to you guys. You get bonus points already for showing up on the Sabbath, even to our digital listeners for listening in on your Sabbath day. Not everyone participates in the Sabbath day. I'm sure even as I'm preaching this message today, you'll be able to hear on the adjacent road to us, different people who are out or doing things on the classic Sabbath day. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles today to the book of Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to start today with verse 1. Just go ahead and follow along as I read. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Let's open with a word of prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, I pray for those who are listening today. I pray, Lord God, that you would encourage them, strengthen them, help them, Lord. I pray, Lord, that our hearts would be open to your truth, and that through the power of discernment, through the Holy Spirit, you would help us to understand what the text has to say. Lord, I pray for strength and mercy today. In your name, I pray these things. Amen. Well, today, as we dig in here, for context, I want us to understand that these Ten Commandments were given to the Israelites to start them in building law for their nation. Now, there are many arguments today that suggest that because these were Old Testament laws and because they were given specifically to another nation, that they have absolutely nothing to do with Christians today, and therefore we should not be subject to them in any way. Now, you're welcome to your opinion. However, I would ask you to be careful to note that many governments, including the United States, have used these commandments as their foundational law principles. And I would also argue that Jesus himself reiterated the importance of every one of these laws except one. Now, these laws are very important for us to adhere to and practice in our daily lives. Now, let me clarify something that I have heard that is not accurate. I have heard that the Bible is built on and completely centered around the Ten Commandments. Now, that is absolutely not true. Now, again, the Ten Commandments are really good laws that help us to worship God in the manner that we should and to follow him in the manner that he would want us to, and to respect and help our fellow man. Now, the Bible is built on and completely centered around our triune God and the salvation that he provides for mankind. Every single bit of the Bible is about what God has done and the future of Jesus Christ, the help of the Holy Spirit, and the second coming of Jesus for his church, and the final judgment that leads us into fellowship with him forever on a new earth. Now, moving forward, Jesus brought the Ten Commandments into the Gospels, but he treats this particular commandment different from the others. And just because it is treated differently does not mean that it does not apply to us today. Now, here's something I find really interesting. There are those who believe that the Ten Commandments are everything. They're absolutely everything. But when it comes to this particular commandment, they will claim that they don't have to go to church because, after all, it's just an Old Testament law, and Jesus didn't treat it the same. And besides, going to church doesn't make you a Christian. But there's a fundamental problem with that thinking. And here it is. Are you ready? James chapter 2, verses 10 through 11 says, "For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, 'Do not commit adultery,' also said, 'Do not murder.' Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So whoever keeps the whole law." Now, what law is James referring to? Well, he's talking about the Mosaic law, which includes the Ten Commandments. This means that God had purpose in giving the law about the Sabbath, not just for the Israelites, but for the future church. Now, James does not say whoever keeps the whole law except for Christians. Now, this text in James is just as valid as those Ten Commandments, because don't forget that according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17, all scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. All of it. So we can't just be dropping off items out of convenience. All right, let's continue in our text and break down what it is all about. Look with me at verse 8. It says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Now make note of the first word of this command, remember. Now, I believe we are told this because we are so prone to forget even the important things and to remember why we keep them as important. Now think about this in context with what we just discussed. People don't remember the things that are important. The Israelites were given so many specific holidays and rituals to practice over and over again so that they would never forget. And many of these things they still practice today. Even with the Ten Commandments, it was a requirement for Jewish boys to recite the Ten Commandments before they even entered into the temple for worship, so that it was so ingrained into them that they never forgot. Remember. We need to remember. When I was growing up, there were certain things that my parents taught me to remember. To always remember, because they were really important. Even really basic things, like don't forget where you live. You know, remember your address just in case you get lost. Remember your phone number in case you ever need to call home. Now, there was another number my parents ingrained in me as a young boy to memorize and never forget, and that was my social security number. Remember your social security number. You get that when you're born in the United States. And it's connected to your U.S. citizenship. You understand so many things are connected to that number. If you want to get a credit card, you have to give that number. You want to get a loan somewhere, anything through the bank is connected to that number. Many, many things are connected to that number. So it's really important to remember. Well, fast forward, and one day I'm working in retail. And as I am working one day, a lady comes in and she wants to get a credit card. She's maybe in her 20s, early 20s. And one of the items it asks us for in the computer is, what is your social security number? And she stands there with this kind of puzzled look on her face, I remember. And she was like, "Oh yeah, my social security number. I think I have that written down somewhere at home. I don't know what it is. Do I really need to have that?" And I was just really surprised. What? You don't know your social security number? How can you not know that? And really, we are living in a day and age where we don't really memorize much of anything because we expect that our gadgets, our phones and our computers and so on are going to remember everything for us. So why memorize anything? We need to remember. The Bible teaches us to remember. We have a fundamental problem in the world today. We are not practiced in remembering. And I don't just mean our phone number or our social security number. I mean with so many things. We struggle to remember what we had for breakfast by the time night rolls around. We find it difficult to remember what we studied in our morning devotional time by the time afternoon hits. Even some today will struggle to remember what this sermon was about by tomorrow. Remember. Remember. Now, we need to be students of God's Word. We need to remember it. And the best way to remember Scripture is by applying it. Because when you apply it, you are working to not just do it, but to do it better. And as you work to do it better, you will review God's word. You will meditate on it deeply for more help and strength. Your prayer life will increase, and you will begin to put more effort into knowing God than anything else. Instead of finishing each evening with entertainment, you will sit and remember your God, and you will meditate on Him even as you go to sleep. Remember. Remember. Now again, Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, why should we remember the Sabbath day? So that we can keep it holy. Holy means dedicated or set aside or to prepare it for something sanctified. Now, there used to be a time, even here in the United States, when Sundays were considered a holy day. No one worked on that day except first responders and some military. But everything was closed that day. All restaurants, all grocery stores, even gas stations were closed. And if you didn't want to go to church that day, that was up to you. But as a nation, we kept the Sabbath on Sundays. Now, fast forward to today, and nothing is off limits on Sundays. Now, some government offices are still not open, but even the post office delivers on Sundays. Let's look back at our text. Verse 9. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. So 6 days we are to use to do all of our work. Now, this is not just going to the office. This is shopping. This is chores and other everyday work. Now, this is also a great reminder that during our 6 days, we need to work and work hard and work unto the Lord. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 through 24 says, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Now, God has purpose to show us by example that working 6 days was good and allowing our bodies to rest physically and be renewed spiritually on the seventh is what would be best for us. Now, God also laid out purpose in farming as well regarding Sabbath years. In Exodus chapter 20, we receive the Ten Commandments, but in the following few chapters, we get a deeper breakdown of many other laws connected to these ten. Now, in Exodus chapter 23, verses 10 through 13, we are given the law about using the land. It says, 6 years you shall sow your land and gather in its produce, but the seventh year you shall let it rest and lie fallow, that the poor of your people may eat, and what they leave the beasts of the field may eat. In like manner you shall deal with your vineyard and your olive grove. 6 days you shall do your work, and on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the son of your female servant and the stranger may be refreshed. And in all that I have said to you, be circumspect and make no mention of the name of other gods, nor let it be heard from your mouth. Now, interesting point is that science has confirmed that if you continue to plant and grow from the same parcel of land through the seventh year, what happens is that all of the nutrients from the soil get used up. So the earth needs rest and rejuvenation just like we do. Well, look with me at verse 10. God said, "But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates." Now notice the depth of how God explains and clarifies who should not work in the family. It's not just the father or the mother, but the son and the daughter. But wait, there's more. Also, all of your servants shouldn't work, if you have any. They should rest and rejuvenate. Now, this is a day off for everyone, and your cattle, or those animals at the time that you would be used for work. All life needs rest. Even those who may be visiting, they should not work on the Sabbath. They should rest. Consider with me verse 11. God says, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." God made it clear here that we are to take at least 1 day of rest away from our work each week and give that day to Him for worship. In fact, the penalty for not keeping the Sabbath according to Jewish law was death. That is how important that God considered this day of rest and worship. Now, Jesus teaches gospel believers in the New Testament about the importance of taking a day to worship the Lord, but without the level of restrictions that were given in the Old Testament. Now, we have something today that's called Christian liberty, the opportunity to use our God-given time and talent to do good things for the Lord on our day of rest and worship. Mark chapter 2, verse 27, Jesus said, "The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath." Now, Jesus didn't teach this commandment like he did with the other commandments, but that's because he didn't need to. The Sabbath command still holds its importance today just as much as it did when given to the Israelites. Now, Jesus' point here in Mark chapter 2, verses 27, was to note that we are not limited to our worship of God as the Israelites were. Now, people today seem to have a poor understanding of what this commandment means. When I was a teenager, my parents invited a couple from the church out to eat after Sunday morning worship. Now, this couple had a friend visiting, and they hadn't prepared a meal for that day, so it seemed a perfect time to go out. When we were ordering, the friend didn't order anything. He stuck with water and didn't seem to really want to be there. My parents and the couple encouraged him to get anything that he liked, but he declined without a reason. It seemed really odd. Now, after the food was delivered, he struck up the courage to tell us why he didn't order. You see, he believed that if anyone did work on the Sabbath day, being Sunday, that they were in direct violation of the fourth commandment. He also believed that we as patrons of this establishment were causing the problem because we were perpetuating the issue, opening the door for this woman who was working as a server to commit sin. Now, this confession made for a rather awkward dining experience for the rest of us, even questioning why did he come if he believed that. Now, it also opens up thoughts and questions as to whether or not he was right. Now, I believe there's a great many wrong ideas around the Sabbath that have been formulated from poor teaching throughout the years. I remember reading the old Little House on the Prairie books. And yes, I'm talking about the books. I'm not talking about watching the miniseries. The miniseries is based on the books, FYI. Read the books. Now, in the books, little Laura Ingalls was so frustrated that on Sundays, she wasn't allowed to do anything because of the passage that no work should be done. Laura couldn't do any chores, so that the day could remain as holy as possible. Now, she also wasn't allowed to play. She couldn't even fellowship. She had to sit and ponder God or read her Bible, and she just couldn't stand it. Now, again, I believe that people have a misunderstanding of this commandment. Back to Mark 2:27, Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. In other words, God has given us an open door to expand on how we worship Him, how we take His truths and put them into practice, how we encourage others, and how we fellowship with other believers on our Sabbath day. Now, God does give us greater opportunities to expand our fellowship with Him and with others, and gives us the Christian liberty, or you may refer to it as free will, to use our Sabbath days to glorify Him in so many different ways. And let me throw something in here in regards to Christian liberty or free will. Let's first define it. So Christian liberty or free will, depending on how you look at it, is the exercise of using your own discretion to worship God based on your understanding of God's teaching from the Bible. Now, there are those that remove this last part that says, based on your understanding of God's teaching from the Bible, and they worship in a manner that they deem appropriate. Now, for instance, one man told me that he worships God by going to the club on Sundays and playing the drums. Another man told me that he worships God by watching his kids play soccer on Sunday mornings. Now, neither of these gentlemen are using the Bible to consider what worship is in order to make their decisions. They are using their free will to make choices based on their biggest desires. Now, the Bible says a great deal about the worship of God, and it is centered on both the communing and the teachings of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, free will gets us into trouble from time to time because we have to reinforce our decisions by the Bible. Some would say that because we have the right to our own discretion, then we should be able to do some work on the Sabbath, such as our grocery shopping, and we should be able to exercise and work out that day instead of allowing our bodies to rest. We also need to be careful that we are not using the day to be one of entertainment when we should be renewing our relationship with the Lord. Now, for many people today, any time that is not work means play. But there has to be a day consecrated for worship of the Lord. The Sabbath was never meant for a day to go to the ball game, or a day to hang out at the mall, or a day to go to the movie theater. We are to meet God on our Sabbaths and to fellowship in His name. And some of this, too, is the word day. Many people look at this and say, well, yes, of course, I worship God on the Sabbath. That means that I go and I'll spend an hour at church. That's my Sabbath. But an hour at church is not a Sabbath day. Day is a 24-hour period of time. If we go back even into the Bible, every time the word day was used, it was talking about a full time of day. Now there's time to sleep and so on in that. So we look at that as what is the time from the time you get up in the morning till the time you go to bed at night. This is your Sabbath day. We don't have a Sabbath hour. We have a Sabbath day. Okay, I've got a couple of other things that I would like to address today. But first, I want you to take a moment and think about what we've already discussed today. Think about the elements of the Sabbath day: physical rest, spiritual renewal, fellowship, encouraging others, helping others out, and more. Just think about it. What does that day look like for you? Not what it looks like right now, but knowing what we have considered today, how do you want to shape your day? What do you want to make most important? What do you want to drop out of your day? What will you allow be renewed in your spirit, and what will distract you from deep meditation and spiritual renewal? Now think about it. Now I would encourage you to write down your thoughts about how you're thinking right now before you forget them. Even make bullet points in your notes so that you can come back later and expand on them. That's really important. A lot of times we'll hear something and we say, wow, that's really good. I need to make that change in my life. Even listening to a sermon or listening to a good book or something, and we say, hey, this is really good. Or as we're reading our Bibles, we say, this is really good. I want to learn from this. I want to implement this in my life. And we say to ourselves, you know what, I'll look at this later. And the problem is later, even coming back and thinking about it in the afternoon, say you're coming to church today on your Sabbath day, and at the end of the day. Then you go home, you have lunch and so on, and you sit down in the chair and you start thinking about it, and you've forgotten a lot of the different things that we talked about even here today. It's important for us to remember. It's important for us to write the most important things down in order for us to remember them. So I'm going to give you 2 minutes here on the clock for you to write down the bullet points of what you want to do with your Sabbath day. Anything that you want to change, anything you want to get right, anything that you want to think about. If you're listening digitally today, I would encourage you to go ahead and hit pause, write those few items down, and then come back. All right, let's move on today. So when is the Sabbath day? When is the Sabbath day? Does it matter what day you take? Well, I personally see nothing in Scripture that limits us to the physical day that we take. The Jews met on Saturday, the last day of the week, as their Sabbath day. That was actually the sixth day. Christians meet on Sunday, the first day of the week, because that was the day that Jesus Christ rose from the grave. So it's a good symbolic day. However, if the majority of our congregation today had to work on Sunday and were only available on Thursdays, that would be our Sabbath day. Now, one day in the week needs to be a Sabbath, and it makes no difference which one. Now, if you miss church because you believe that Sabbath lands on Saturday or Sunday and you must worship those days, I would ask you where it says that in Scripture, because you're not going to find it. There are no magic days, and there is no law for the Christian demanding a particular day. I will, however, remind you of what Jesus said in Mark chapter 2, verse 27, again, that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. It's important to worship, to be spiritually renewed, and to physically rest. If you are not taking one day a week for the Sabbath, you are sinning. And speaking of that, in Christianity today, there is one body of people, we'll say one particular profession, that struggles the most with taking their Sabbath. Do you know who this is? The one profession that struggles the most with taking their Sabbath is pastors. Pastors are always working on your Sabbath. I've seen many pastors on their day off running errands or watching movies or playing sports, but does this qualify as a Sabbath? Where is the spiritual renewal? Where is the physical rest? Now, pastors are required to take a Sabbath day, just like everyone else. It is important. No one is immune from following through with the Sabbath. It is a detriment to the Christian who does not take a day to renew their walk with the Lord, to take a day to offer praise and worship to their Creator. Just as that soil needs time to be renewed and have its physical nutrients renewed, so the Christian needs their spiritual life to be renewed. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you for the Ten Commandments. Thank you for the law about the Sabbath day, reminding us that we need to take a very specific day of the week to bring praise to you, to bring worship, to be renewed in our spirit, to have fellowship with other believers. Lord, help us to take the day, take time to be renewed with you. And Lord, yes, we can have a devotional time every day, and that is wonderful, but we need to take one particular day to associate with other gospel believers for the purpose of encouraging them and being encouraged by them, and to have fellowship with them, and to come before you in song and praise you and worship you, and to hear sermons from your Scripture, Lord, to be broken down into little nutrients, Lord, so that those nutrients can work on us spiritually and rebuild our minds, rebuild our focus and our understanding of you. Lord, help us to use our Sabbaths the right way, as your word has to say. And I pray, Lord, that you would teach us to glorify you in all things. Help us to know you deeper today by what we've learned. In your name, I pray these things. Amen. Well, let me challenge you today. Go out and tell someone else about what you've learned. How many other people will learn from what you have learned today? Have a great Sunday. Enjoy the rest of your Sabbath day. Make sure to bring praise and worship to our great God. You're dismissed.